Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, defending your movies, Sean Donnelly. With Gina Grant on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit from Dave Damashek. And now, Frusenglasia! I suck at that. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. I chose to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I love that story. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. And I got a pretty strong pimp hand. Dave Damashek in studio.
Frusenglasia times five. The Pittsburgh Penguins won their fifth cup. Frusenglasia!
It's big news. Was it too close to the NBA championships, or
for people to care?
Were they two days apart, three days apart?
It's also hockey.
I get it, but is it too close? Like, what was it? 2 days?
No, it was concurrently. 24 hours apart.
Yeah, it ended within one day of each other, but I'm saying the whole series ran concurrently.
Yeah, but all right. I don't know. Is that smart?
I would say not.
NHL definitely bends to the NBA's scheduling so that they don't at least play games on the same night anymore. They see to it, but, you know, shame the devil if they would ever go up against the NBA Finals. So at least they figured that part out.
Do you think the diversity is going to help this in the NHL? Since there are a lot more brothers on the ice these days, or a lot compared to zero. Now, it seems like there's a few guys out there.
How many are in the league, would you say, Dave?
You know, I have no idea. I'm not sure.
Just throw out a number.
It's 27.
Six, 27
oh, wow.
too many.
Oh.
Sorry. Come on, Gina. I'm setting up a joke here.
I wasn't sure.
I let someone else talk for a second.
That's
it meant
true.
They were setting up a joke for me.
No, you're absolutely right about that.
I wonder, I would assume, wouldn't you guys assume that if you are looking for popularity, like golf, the Tiger Woods phenomenon, right? Don't we need this? I mean, because golf is inherently boring, and I get it. And there's certain sports that there just can't get people on board with. But no excuse for hockey. Just feel like they need to diversify. Or they need, like, you know, they need a Ronda Rousey or something.
Yeah, the Nashville Predators, perhaps their biggest star is P.K. Subban, who got traded from Montreal. And, he's sort of the outsized personality and all that, to your point. Yeah, he's probably – Grant Fuhr was the goalie for the Edmonton Oilers in the 80s, the dynasty and all that. And he was black. But, I think the P.K. Subban might be the greatest superstar – that the league's ever seen, who is black.
I know Grant Fuhr was black.
Yeah. I look that one up.
He wore a mask
sure.
And a helmet, so it's hard to see.
Yes. That's exactly right. That's right. Yeah, so you wouldn't be aware of that.
Yeah.
There was Pokey Redick. There's Evander Kane. I'm trying to think of all the guys I could have. Tony McKegney.
I
missed all those.
Did I say Pokey Redick? Because that's a good one.
I had no idea that he was black, and now we're going to figure it out. So Gary Schell. All right, Gary, the other thing, the other controversy is the Coachella versus Coachella.
Now, that's been raging on Twitter.
Controversy.
Mike August pronounces it Coachella. And then I always have this conversation, which is it's called Coachella. And then he goes, it's the name of a town. And then I go, yeah, which they call Coachella. The event, not even in the town, Coachella. And I go, Mike, they call it Coachella. And he goes, it's not even in the town, which case he's talking about something something else. The it always cracks me up. But I saw I was watching the first Fast and Furious, and turns out the police dispatch, when getting back to Paul Walker, says Coachella. Vin Diesel's in the Coachella Valley. Mm-hmm. And then somebody shot me a tweet of Bugs Bunny.
Oh, that arbiter of grammar.
Yeah. Yes, Bugs Bunny is looking for Coachella. And then some people said, well, but he's a cartoon character. He mispronounces these cities. But
what a maroon.
He hit Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. He didn't screw up Albuquerque, which was right after it, mm-hmm. which he'll always...
Well,
always
why
do.
Would that be evidence anyway? If somebody who did the voice back way
Mel
back...
Blank.
Mel Blanc. So maybe Mel Blanc just didn't know the correct pronunciation. What proof is that of anything the cartoon character said?
I've come up with a theory. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? Okay.
Lay it on me.
It is my divisive. Hipsters like to change the pronunciation of things to kind of make it their own. It was Iran and Iran. You know, like they always. I saw the Cannes Film Festival go from Cannes to Cannes. And back then once everyone went with Khan, they would switch back to Khan again because they don't like to do things the way other people do things. It's a way to lord your superior intellectual superiority over somebody.
You know what the best example of that is? Van Gogh for 150 years, but for about 10 years there, and it ended, I think, 10 years ago-ish.
Van Gogh.
But for about a decade there, the hipster loved Van Gogh.
I've never heard that before.
You never heard Van Gogh? You're too young, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, for a while there. That's what it was.
The NPR show is brought to you by a generous grant from the Andrew Carnegie, who also owns Carnegie Hall. Like,
may have gone to the Carnegie Deli.
Yeah, so there is a Carnegie Hall, and then there's a grant from the loan from the Carnegie Foundation, but that's them. Yeah.
Get on the same page.
They're doing their own thing. And so my thought now is it was Coachella, because I do sort of remember Coachella from my youth. And then the hipsters moved into town, and the hipsters can go, we can share nothing with these bumpkins. And they're uneducated and they're unwashed masses. We don't want to go to a new valley. We'll just pronounce this one our own way, and that'll make it our thing.
I think you're 75% correct, because it is pronounced Coachella. I know this because a former intern of the show, Chris, Christie's brother, who interned for radio show and actually is a news producer now. He produced news out there in the Coachella Valley for 2 years. He texted me and said, having lived in the Coachella Valley and speaking with old people from Coachella, the A is silent. So even the old-timers there know that it's Coachella.
So Bugs Bunny was the hipster.
But I think you're right in that everyone outside the region who didn't know, who thought it was Bugs Bunny's Coachella, like, oh, let's get on board the actual, you know, let's all get on the right page and get on board the correct pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're mostly right.
Ooh. Rarely.
There was also, where do you come down on...
When Brian is feeling extra generous, he tells me I'm entitled to my own opinion. So being partially right is a huge victory.
Three quarters right.
I will savor
Take
this
that.
Day.
Cruising garage.
A year from today, we shall celebrate. We'll dance.
This day. It's Coachella Day. It's actually Coachella now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is interesting. And I buy this, and we do this, and it's the same thing. I'm sure in Iran, they've been saying Iran the whole time, and we've been saying Iran.
Yeah,
the
Iranians
whole time.
Call it Iran.
Right, yeah, and so we call it.
My pal, Handsome Hank, who's on my podcast all the time, is an Englishman, and the apparent American mispronunciations. I now think America now rules enough that we can eschew the English pronunciation of things. Like lasso, he says lasso.
Oh,
where do you guys come down on that?
That sounds kind of good. The lasso of truth.
Clitoris, clitoris, or tomato, tomato.
You're okay with lasso?
You say clitoris, and I say clitoris.
I love that song.
There are certain words I don't get too hung up on, and I'll let it go either way. Like, for instance, some people will laugh if you say underpants versus underwear. That's not sure. a pronunciation thing, but they have their own mm-hmm. their own way of doing things. There's a pajamas and a pajamas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't care which mm-hmm. way we do it. I don't like the vase as much as the vase. I got to tell you,
I'm with you on that one.
Well, it has to be flusion glashing mm-hmm. for me when you get mm-hmm. into the vase.
It has to be worth a certain amount to be called a vase.
That's a good point. Yes.
Yes. Yes. But does it bother you guys as nearly as much as it bothers me when people, when things get mispronounced so much, they become accepted? Like when you walk into to someone's house, you enter the foyer, but people call it the foyer. It's not the foyer. It's a French word. It's foyer. But people, so many rubes now say foyer that foyer is okay.
Well,
that is not acceptable.
What do they say in Los Feliz, Brian?
Thank you. What is Los Feliz?
I know, but I hate that.
Our logo one, in fact, as a matter, I think most of we gringos say Chavez Ravine, but it is in fact Chavez.
Chavez
Ravine.
Chavez.
It's Chavez Ravine. Yeah, many longtime Angelenos say Chavez.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Speaking of that, by the way, somebody tweeted me that they got off their ass in the hot dog department.
At Dodger Stadium.
Chavez Ravine.
Ravine. Chavez.
And they're doing a Brooklyn-style dog with a nice casing on it instead of the rhino penis that formerly passed as a hot dog.
This changes everything for you.
Godforsaken Chavez.
You may have
Chavez
to make
Ravine.
A return.
Yes. Yeah. I may have to make a return. So there are apparently somebody's heard my prayers, and they're doing a decent hot dog over
Wieners.
There. Wieners. Mm-hmm.
Wiener at a ball game.
All right. Dave Damashek, you can check out his podcast, the Dave Damashek Football Program. We'll listen to Bugs Bunny. Gary, hold on a second, Gary. Let me hit this for a second, then we'll listen to that. Ah, Caesar's Palace, man. Haven't been there lately. You should check it out. It is really nice. I took the wife and the kids there. Not my wife and my kids, but...
Somebody's.
Hey, it turned out me and Tammy had a better time.
Yeah. Really, real eye-opening experience.
Yeah. Newly renovated rooms and suites, Monte Cristo cigar bar with the walk-in humidor, rare whiskey selections, sports book with a 143-foot HD LED big screen right up in there. Biggest on the strip, man. And The Who, my favorite, The Who, in residency at the Coliseum. Good times, man. We had a great time, went to Mr. Chow, saw Celine Dion, loved every second of it. That's right. I enjoyed myself, and we had a great time. Kids went to the pool, did the whole nine yards. They got a special room rate right now through August 31st. Just for my listeners, 25%, use the promo code Adam. Book it now at caesarspalace.com, and we're doing a live show there July 13th. For tickets, you can go to adamcarolla.com. Sorry, Adam Carolla, Vegas.
The Who's in residency at Caesar's
residency.
Palace? That's pretty crazy and cool.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I had no idea they were doing that.
All right, play Bugs and we'll just hear what somebody's tweeted. Yeah, I love a first world problem.
Well, here I am. Hey, just a cotton picking minute. This don't look like the Coachella Valley to me.
Well, there it is. Proof positive.
Half the words he said were pronounced incorrectly. Well, what proof is
Hold
that
on.
For anybody?
Later on, he's going to say Albuquerque. Go ahead. He doesn't screw around with Albuquerque.
But Albuquerque's naturally funny.
And eventually, we're going to have to stop saying cotton picking, right? Somebody's going to decide that that's on a no-fly zone.
I do feel like we stopped saying this decades ago, but I know what you're saying.
We stopped, thank you, but not because anyone told us.
Ah.
Now they're going to tell us.
This is going to be verboten.
Yes.
I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
He does not say that correctly.
He says Albuquerque.
Yeah, but he says that in his vernacular.
Okay.
His dialect. He says Albuquerque like he says left turn.
Which side are you on, Ace? Are you which ultimately going forward?
It used to be Coachella.
Okay. Oh, and so you're saying the extra
schwa.
And Coachella to anyone who never grew up in the Coachella Valley, which is everybody on the planet. statistically. So they used to say Coachella, and now it's Coachella. And I think there's a direct connection to the hipsters, because we didn't care. We didn't change for the good folks of Coachella before the hipsters rolled in. Now we are.
Sports equivalent, Dave, Gonzaga versus Gonzaga. Before everyone knew who they were outside the region, it was Gonzaga. Once they became known, it was Gonzaga.
It's funny, President Obama, it never really took... The Taliban is still pronounced Taliban in spite of his efforts to call it the Taliban. Remember, he's
0 for 2. He's got ISIL.
ISIL, too. ISIL really hasn't caught on as
Pakistan.
Much.
Pakistan. Nobody says that.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Dawson.
I was thinking about this Coachella Valley thing.
Good.
And
that was my decree before we left.
Put some cotton cheese in it.
Yep.
I believe that it was probably named somewhat after a stagecoach or a collection of stagecoaches, much like the city of Kalinga was Coaling Station A. And anytime the train stopped in Kalinga, the train guy had to yell, Coaling Station A, and then eventually he's just like, Coaling A.
Coach
and then Kalinga.
Coachella. Not after Paul Westhead, then, the L.A. Lakers head coach.
Not that guy.
Back and not after the 70s TV series, The White Shadow. Where
that's possible, though.
All right. Dawson, I'm with you on this. I like this.
I normally hate to shout on a point, but...
Here's what Gary just pulled up. It says, the origin of the name Coachella is unclear. Some locals believe it was a misspelling of conchilla, a Spanish word for the small white snail shells found in the valley's sandy soil, vestiges of a lake which dried up over 3,000 years ago. Conchilla became Coachella.
Dawson?
I'm sorry, Coachella.
I don't think a bunch of white guys who named a town are going to name it after something they find in the dirt. That they don't understand what it means.
That's a pretty wild.
What about Los Angeles and San Diego? There's
the angel.
Los Angeles
is not in the ground. Los Angeles has a meaning. Conchilla? Because there's some shells
Dawson,
in the ground?
Dawson, I'm going to save you some time and some face. All right. Well, this is after the whole strap-on mic episode from earlier in the week. There's a lot of differing opinions going on in this year. Dawson.
Yeah.
It's real easy. Read me what you just read, Gina Grad. And then I'll handle this.
Oh.
Okay. There we go.
You want me to read it again?
Yep, please.
Okay. One second.
Oh, boy. Sorry, hold on. My computer just dumped.
Here we go.
There you go.
The origin of the name Coachella is unclear. Some locals believe it was a misspelling of conchilla, a Spanish word for the small white snail shells found in the valley's sandy soil, vestiges of a lake which dried up over 3,000 years ago.
Yeah, but still. Now we're done. Mm. We're back to even.
All right.
We're tied. You did not lose that game. That was like kissing your sister.
Dawson's minus one, because when I was in here a month ago and was talking about Skynyrd lyrics, no, that's not what that song's about. Then dozens and dozens of tweets the next day saying, well, what's Dawson talking about? He's completely wrong on that one.
No, I'm not. I'll read you the book.
Okay. All right. Giovanni. Super fan Giovanni. Giovanni.
Gina, Brian, Damashek, how you guys doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
I have a clip. I think Gary has it for you.
Yep, let's play it, and then Gio can explain.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is George Kosmatz, director of Cobra, and this is the Warner Brothers logo, which I love. They should never have changed it before. This is like the old good old days. Here's the movie.
The director.
Director's commentary.
Oh, here we go. Oh,
we have the scene.
Miami Sound Machine with Gloria Estefan. Nice feeling of the beach, Venice. Establishing shot.
Pulling up his Merc behind the lowrider.
Essay!
I always felt that he should live on the beach. We found this interesting building where they shot the movie called The Falcon and the Snowman.
Oh, Sean Cannon.
John Schlesinger's film. And that's where we had Sly live in. As Cobra, I mean. If you look this carefully here, it was a mistake. Well, we didn't have enough coverage. When he pulls his shirt off and tears it off, you can see the mic. But very few people see
no
notice
way.
That. Unless
no,
I tell
very
you
few
so.
People.
Here it is. One
Hold on. Stop it for a second. I can't go on any further. I hired Antonio Banderas to record this scratch track and lay it over the movie. If there is no actual director.
He couldn't live with himself.
It's Cobra.
I'm furious, but I'm a little impressed.
Antonio's really not working nearly. Like, these guys are much more accessible than you'd think.
I assumed he was ungettable for this kind of... low.
He had time in between Flonase B commercials.
Admittedly, low scale projects.
Melanie put him right on the blower. Like,
you
literally.
To his wife?
Well, whoever.
Whoever picked up the phone.
I thought it was her. She picked up the phone, and he didn't do it that afternoon, but I mean, it was practically that afternoon.
That
sorry.
So I
rewind a little, and just, but it's funny now picturing Antonio Banderas. So I was trying to keep a straight face, but I couldn't.
Coverage. When he pulls his shirt off and tears it off, you can see the mic. But very few people see notice that, unless I tell you so. Here it is. One. Here. You may think it's a pendant or something, but it's the mic.
Oh, what? There. Nobody would know. That, yeah.
These are the lowriders.
Now, see, one of the original passes that Antonio did, he's like, you would have to be a bald douchebag. To think of any other show. And I was like, I slept on it.
Yeah, I'm shocked you didn't go with that take.
Well,
it really would
driven
your point home.
I know, I thought about it, but I also know you're a pretty shrewd cat, and that if it got too specific,
nose,
like he put that in the actual director's commentary from 1988.
What
come
are the
on.
Chances?
What kind of bald retard?
So back then, it
we don't even have a word for retard.
Yeah, I was
going to
say back then you can say.
Are we
that.
Not going to watch Cobra now?
We would call it kicked in the head by a donkey.
Gio, where'd you find that?
Well, it was a long process. I've been obsessed with this Cobra thing for like over a decade. When I read this old internet think piece on it and how it was edited and the gut of the movie, and I've been searching for a work print, which I've never been able to find. And I had the DVD. I never thought there was a commentary. And then last Thursday's episode, which aired Friday, I believe, with Vinny. Brian dared some fan of the show to find it, and I had already ordered the Blu-ray again, so it was on its way here. So I was trying to cut it. And long story short, I had to find a video file, rip the commentary, and I had to resync it by hand by measuring the mouths and when the words came out so I could put it back in the footage so then Brian couldn't claim shenanigans.
No. Listen, it takes a big man. I was wrong, and the satisfaction of knowing the answer is so much better than the thinking I may be onto something here. I'm glad we know the answer.
Right,
it
I like
it. Took me 12
it.
Hours.
Although
to
I knew
that,
the answer from when I watched it, but now I know you know the answer. That's my satisfaction, not me knowing the answer.
100% on board.
All right, hey
my
Giovanni, that was
too.
Nice. And who knew he would even cover that part?
Yeah,
I know. I couldn't believe it. I put the Blu-ray in, and I'm like, I've never watched this a decade ago. And then, like, 10 minutes in, when the scene comes on, he's like, nobody really notices. I'm like, holy
shit!
That's
the best part. The director's
exactly
like, no one notices. It's in three shots.
Is there
one side note? My only hope is Brian takes him saying Cobra and makes that a drop for every time you bring up Cobra. I know you can't force the drops, but I think it'll work.
I think you've earned it,
Shaq. You'll be happy to know that 1 week ago I was sitting with Sly for 3 hours at a party, much closer than you and I are. He punched me in the shoulder. The over-under was 71 times. All we talked was boxing and Cobra.
Holy and hell. No, I'm not
awesome.
Happy to learn it because I wasn't there.
It was awesome.
I can't.
And Vin Diesel, who Adam had introduced himself to despite him doing Loveline for 2 hours 17 years ago.
All right. Well, I forgot about that.
We had hair. He looked like a different guy.
Thank you, Giovanni.
Never call again.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was awesome. What the? You know, this is it was a sort of was it that Marshall McLuhan thing with Woody Allen?
Annie Hall.
Yeah, where he was like tapped him on the shoulder and went like, "Sir, you clearly know nothing about my
Don't
work."
Don't you wish Marshall McLuhan was right here, right now? And pulled him into frame.
It was a great, funny Woody Allen aside, but that was about as satisfying as you could ever have, and an argument that would have spun off into outer space, and that our kids would have to continue long after we were gone.
Hatfields and McCoy.
Sonny and Tessa are in each other's face, poking her in the chest.
All right, let's see. Somebody's got an achievement day they want to share with me. Somebody's got another carpool lane, Greg Giraldo. Let's see. Brian, you guys look at line three. Uh-huh. I'll tease it. It's a favorite postseason play, and you guys, I'll cue an answer.
I have a whole monologue.
Any sport, he's saying. I'm going to start with Robert, 35, Downey. What's going on, Robert and Downey?
Adam, how are you?
Oh, man, Downey one of the far away football games we'd play every year when I played Pop Warner was Downey. Mm-hmm. They weren't in our league. We'd play the Burbank Vikings and the Valley Dolphins and all that Sun Valley Falcons, but we go to Downey. And the joke was always, I don't know why jokes of this nature are so satisfying, but we would beat them every mm-hmm. time. And every time we'd beat them, we'd go, Downey, they're soft and white.
Good.
Not bad for a 10-year-old.
No,
right?
It's good.
Yeah. Really good.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of that going on. It's a lot of retired old people. It used to be, I think, a Northrop plant or a Boeing plant there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say, you know, a little bit more brown going through, but yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was calling to just share my achievement story with you just about the same time you started a podcast. I ended a relationship with somebody, was down to absolutely zero cash, defaulted on two school loans. It was just totally rock bottom. Absolutely, I'm serious.
Well, thanks for sharing. Now let's get to that sports story. Sorry to hear about it, Robert. Hopefully you get your life back in order.
He buys a cake every year on that day.
Sorry.
Robert, soft and white.
There's another part of this, Robert?
Yeah, sorry. I'm okay.
No, that's fine. So about 8 years ago or so.
Yeah. You know what? Listening to your podcast, listening to the advice you're giving, just, you know, keep moving forward, do some push-ups over a textbook, went back, finished, got my bachelor's degree. I'm currently working now for a medical device manufacturer here in California. Been working here for 10 years. Paid back both school loans. Credit score over 720 now. And it's just, you know. Oh, by the way, I'm Hispanic. So luckily the playing field was leveled, right?
Yeah.
To be able to help me to be able to come back.
I love it, Robert.
No, I mean, and it's just the fact, it's just grit, man.
Everything's grit. I'm touched by the fact that my words, in some small way, could have been solely responsible for the small success you've had thus far. And fleeting. But I want to say this. I like the medical devices thing because I'm realizing two things pretty quickly with my kids. I don't think they're, you know, upper shelf college material.
Come on.
I don't. I'm being realistic. I've dipped way below Ivy League.
You're not going to lie to them.
No. I can't. I'm their dad. And also, thus, they'll only be semi-employable. But they're going to, it's not like they're not going to have money because they'll have me. So all they really need is a wrap. And I've said a million times, all you have to do is go with Amherst. People know it's a good school, but they don't know anything about it. And there's no teams and there's no anythings. And they can't say, were you there during, 2002 when they made the run at the NCAA, there's none of that. Nobody knows it. It's far away. You're not going to get busted with the Harvard or Yale brag. Amherst.
It sounds good too.
No follow-ups, no nothing. Just all learn the name of the Lord Jeff, the mascot, and learn the name of the malt shop and one dorm name.
Very
You're
clever.
Covered. You're covered. And now, I work selling medical devices. Nobody's got, hey, I got a pacemaker that's on the fritz. You got your kid with you?
This is great news.
No, it's always just like, medical devices is the Amherst of jobs, which is, we assume it's pretty good pay. No one's ever going to ask. It sounds like you're making good cash.
Yeah, I have no follow-up questions.
And have no follow-up questions whatsoever.
In fact, if you're a doctor in the medical field, you run. You're like, oh, sounds good.
Don't try to tell me anything.
You never run. Yeah, and what are the chances?
Yep.
Then you went to Amherst, and now you're working selling medical devices.
That's good.
I've been advocating for the last couple of months. That's exactly right. No, this is a life hack. I think you got it exactly right. No one, unless you are going to, ironically, since we're talking medical, unless you're going to medical school or law school, no one is ever looking up your GPA. No one's ever confirming that you actually went to college for 4 years and got a degree or anything else. Just make it up. Give yourself those 4 years. Do with them what you will.
You need two pieces of relevant information to your two lies, medical devices. I started selling CPAPs. And then I just kind of moved. Oh, yeah, I just kind of branched into it. I sold the stuff to clean the CPAPs, and then there's a CPAP. I don't know. This is getting boring, but it's anyway, snoring. I'm doing quite.
No, so. But you know, you'd love to come and visit here because there are people working on lathes and people just manufacturing.
Good,
and
get specific.
I'm very lucky to be working. You know.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. California. Oh no. Grateful. Good. Good. Keep going.
No, I mean, we build here, we package here, we ship all over the country.
We never say where here is, but we just keep saying here. Yeah, good. It's good. Vague. Good.
I'm telling you, it's making my story that much better for when I interview for my next position.
Thank you. Hey, Robert, what are you guys? What kind of devices do you guys manufacture?
Okay. Are you all sitting down? Are you guys prepared to be disappointed? It's braces. Braces with teeth.
Okay.
So we do ceramic braces, we do, you know, metallic braces and clear braces, all that kind of stuff.
The clear braces are weird because the clear braces
fried shrimp, popcorn shrimp.
Just rules for everybody. If you ever see a dude with braces and he's over 36, he's gay. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of gay dudes. I've never seen a straight dude.
Is that right?
Who gave a shit about his teeth after 36. And when you see a dude with a full set and he's in his 40s, he's gay. Every time.
I'm thinking of like Randy Moss, but he was like 20.
No, you know what's funny? Super Bowl 32, the two biggest stars in the game, Brett Favre and Terrell Davis, both had braces. I said to Terrell Davis, why did you get braces at the height of your powers? You missed the opportunity. He's like, I wanted my teeth to look good. But it is strange. Like, now you're never going to be in front of more people.
Under 36. Right. Yep. Under 36. And I know, because I wanted to test this out. I went into an orthodontist, and I said, may I have some braces? And he said, would you like to suck my dick? And I said, no. And he said, well,
no can
then
do.
No Since right back at you.
Wow.
Yeah. Hand of God.
I'm glad to see that.
Hand of God. Google that shit.
Wow.
Google it. Hand of God. Yeah. Just Google it.
I bet you gave him a terrible Yelp review.
It's in our training, guys.
Google the God.
And it's in our training.
Google the God.
And you said, he's like, hey, listen, you can suck my dick. I can suck yours. One or the other.
Either way, I'm going to do it.
Google the God.
Google the God.
That's a good new one.
Google the God. Yeah, you don't want to swear.
You know, by the way, the invisible braces, I know, are supposed to be an advancement, but aren't they even weirder looking? They make it look like you have like some weird film on your teeth.
It's true.
That guy ate a jellyfish, or I'm drunk.
Right? Yeah. It's like, that guy has an unfortunate situation.
Eating
with that,
aspect, I think.
And even when they're not on, you have that block glued to your tooth.
So it's a little weird, and then. There are the ones that are like purple and orange and stuff for the kids, but that's just calling attention to the braces. Other than not just the rubber, I think the actual studs and stuff.
Why hasn't the urban community adopted the Invisalign, the clear ones, but with grills?
Oh, wow.
Because then you don't have to have the braces, but you got the cool, the fronts.
I don't feel like...
That's what the rappers say, right, Gary?
They're fronts? Playing to the urban community. I mean, there are the Randy Mosses of the world who have signed pretty good paydays.
It's a niche portion of their market.
I'll tell you why. No, seriously, I figured this out really clearly from junior high and high school. The kids who all had braces were the kids who could afford braces, and the kids who didn't couldn't afford them. It wasn't like, these guys need them, they'll get them, and whoever doesn't need them. It was a really easy math to do at Walter Reed Junior High, which was all the Jewish kids had either a retainer or braces, because... There's no such thing, and I'm going to run into this with my kids too. There's no such thing as bringing them to the orthodontist and asking them if they need braces or not. There is technically everybody needs braces. Mm-hmm. Really, there's no such thing as just a perfect set of uppers and lowers, especially when you're 13. Yeah. It's not right. So the teacher, not for me, not for Ray Oldhofer, not for any of these guys, but we never went to the orthodontist, but they get brought to the orthodontist and they come in the next Monday and they got the retainer, the headset on or whatever it is. And it's whoever can afford them.
But you're lucky because you don't have jacked up teeth.
Right. But if I would have, I'd join the ranks of Brett Favre and Randy Moss and other Hall of Famers.
But not until you started on The Man Show. That's right. The equivalent.
When you reach that level of success.
I had a, speaking of orthodonture and timing, I'll tell you my orthodonture timing story. Timely, right after I tell you about Blinds Galore, man. Blinds Galore, they do everything. They do it better than anyone. They create 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements down to every little detail. Don't bother dragging yourself outside to buy the old box and the prepackaged shades. Nope, Blinds Galore. They make it easy to get the custom products for the windows right from the home, and you just order it online. They've covered over 2 million windows. I have them here. I have them in the other studio. I have them in the edit bay. I have them in my bathroom. I have them in my home. I have my office. It's all good. We love Blinds Galore. Let Blinds Galore, let them take care of you, man. Go to blindsgalore.com and get the shades you've always wanted, especially when it's getting hot now. It keeps the heat from blasting through those windows. Go check out blindsgalore.com and let them know I sent you. That's blindsgalore.com. Blindsgalore.com. Let no way sent you. Haven't told you this in a million years, but when I went to the Pretty in Pink premiere at
Stallone and the Pretty in Pink premiere?
Pretty in Pink premiere. When I went to the Pretty in Pink premiere back in 1985 or 6 or whenever it was, I sat either next to or an aisle away or very close to Molly Ringwald, who had the chipmunk cheeks because she had had her wisdom teeth pulled the day before.
And poor planning.
I remember I was, 19 and stupid, but I remember just kind of going, I don't know. It's a Thursday. Like, just do it Friday. Or the premiere is
your
tomorrow.
Picture, your picture's going to be in the Hollywood Reporter and Teen Beat.
Released February 28th, 1986. You can look up, see what day that is. For some reason, I remember Thursday or Friday, it seemed, or maybe midweek. But
well, it would have been released on a Friday for sure. You probably saw
the premiere or whatever it was. But I don't know. They did things differently back then. But either way, I don't know. I threw up in the bathtub when I got home. I can't remember if I had to go to work or not. But
did that have anything to do with Molly Ringwald's face? Why'd you throw up?
Oh, free booze.
Oh, gotcha.
Free booze at the after party.
Well, I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, that's...
Poor Molly.
So horrified by
her. I know.
Yeah, I know. I just remember thinking, bitch, why don't you just wait till the next day? Like tomorrow morning, go
get
it done.
It's
like she literally had it done the day before and her face was swollen. It was wildly unattractive and off-putting and whatever. And she's all dressed to the nines and everything else. All right, that's Friday, according to Gary.
What would you do if you, if you're going to an award show, you probably, if you're, black tie and all that, it makes sense to be clean shaven. But if you were playing in the Super Bowl, and you're the starting quarterback, Ace, and, a billion eyeballs are going to be on you. What would you do? Do you go? Do you not shave for the 2 weeks leading up to it to look haggard and ready to go? Or do you want to look as pretty as possible, baby's bottom fresh on your face? Which would you do? I like talking about that to players to see where their heads are.
Yeah, I think you have to have the I don't care because I'm totally focused on the game.
That's the correct answer.
That being said, somebody also tweeted me a guy in the Arena League crapping out the football. I don't know if you guys saw the touchdown dance where the guy crapped out the football, but it has come to pass, literally and figuratively, when it comes to my dance that I invented in the end zone, I think, during the Man Show. Now, this leads me to one of the more bizarre but extremely true stories, which is after that night, free booze. This is back in 1986. Free booze was a big deal. I was 19, 20 years old. And, I'm trying to think. Yeah. And free booze was huge. You had to just drink enough for the next several months. And I had a designated...
Like a camel, put in your hump.
I had a designated driver who hooked up with a chick and took off. And now it was just me. And there was no Uber or cabs or if not for me. I mean, I didn't have a credit card or anything. And when I walked up the hill from that club, and it was a driving rainstorm, and I I was the last one out of there, just bonked, blitzed, drunk, looking for the driver the whole time, just looking. And so I was the last one out. Everyone had cleared out, staggered out in the curb, walked all the way up the hill back off of this was off of like Hollywood and like Franklin and Quanga, whatever. Walked up the hill, got to the parking lot where the car was. Just my car, just a cop car parked directly next to my car in a completely, completely empty parking lot at 2:30 in the morning, and I am having trouble walking. And there's the car is sitting right, and it's a driving rainstorm, and I'm just standing there, just looking at the end on the street, and I can see it's in the parking lot. It's good, like 80 feet, but it's a cop car, and the windows are all fogged over. And I'm staring at my car, I'm staring at the cop car, and I'm thinking, what do I do? If I'm standing out here in the driving rain, that looks pretty suspicious, not seeking shelter or anything. I could go find an awning to stand under for a while, but I'm still just blasted out of my mind standing out on the street at 2:30 in the morning. I just was paralyzed. I got into my car, and I just sat in my car. Because now I'm thinking, they got to wait for me to start the car.
Then I can pounce.
I can say, I just went in here, and I'm just going to sleep it off. But the second I fire it up, and it was like a souped-up Z car. It makes a lot of noise. So eventually just sat, and probably sat there for like 20 minutes, half an hour, and just like I couldn't see inside the cop car. I couldn't see outside of my car. Do I get out of the car and like knock on the cop windows and explain that my pearls have been stolen and they went the other way? Like, I don't know. I have no idea what to do. And I literally just start the car up at a certain point, and then I just sit there and I start thinking, we're on private property, like we're in a bank parking lot. Maybe they're waiting for me to put it in reverse and like back out and start going, then they're just going to slide in behind me. I'm unclear what the rules are with the DUI stuff back then. Drove home shit-faced, driving rainstorm.
But clearly by the fog inside that car, they were in there. Did they think maybe he was making time?
I to this day, I can't even imagine. Perhaps Giovanni can send us a clip. Hi, I'm the officer. It was my rookie. I was a rookie back then when Pretty in Pink came out. I was
actually Molly Ringwald of the dashboard cam.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't fathom. Must have been sitting in the car. There's nothing else to do. I don't know what happened. I don't know why they pulled in next to my car when there were no other cars in the parking lot. If they wanted to make out with their honey bunny, why not just pull into the end of the parking lot? I don't know.
Either way, you decided then and there, I have to change my life, and that's when you applied to Amherst, and the rest is history.
That's right. Now I sell medical devices. I'm very successful.
Moving along, CPAPs?
Yep. All right, the question, I started off selling the cleaning solution for the CPAP. Okay. Anyway, so it's boring. It's boring. I'm really successful. It's boring. Dan, 34, Denver.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, big, man.
Full house tonight. We've got beautiful Gina, bald. You and Mr. Dave Damashek. So my question, you already covered one of the topics being the Indoor Football League pooping situation. But my next question was, what's your favorite postseason play? NBA, NFL, NHL, soccer, tennis?
I'm going to kiss some check ass and just go to James Harrison and that 100-yard.
I like
100-yard. That game was, well, first
makes
off,
everyone happy.
It was a beautiful play because it's not Kurt Warner's fault. He broke off. Like, he was down had his hand down on the ground, got up, broke off, slid right in front of a quick slant route. And then with no time left on the clock, it's not like, well, he went out at the two, so they'll get three out of it, or they'll get one shot at the end zone, and then they can go for three or whatever. And Arizona was going to go ahead at that play. And would have went into halftime with a ton of momentum and possibly won that very close game. And James, it's
watch 24. That's my man, Ike Taylor, right there. He's calling for the ball. Pitch it.
It's better.
And the guy runs into him while he's doing it.
It's better that he's a big guy. I love the fact that Fitzgerald got ran out of bounds and ran into his own guy, and that the other guy knocked him into the end zone when Fitzgerald was like trying to pull him. And I mean, that was, you want to talk about a game of inches.
That's right. The whole thing, I mean, there are like six or eight different times where he could have stepped out of bounds or gotten tackled or whatever. And it all resolved right at the goal. Larry Fitzgerald just about gets him down. He's in by an inch or two, barely.
And
it's crazy.
Fitzgerald's teammate knocks him and just blasts him. I'm always amazed And when NFL players, and I see it all the time, which just goes to show that the animal instinct is much stronger than the intellectual instinct, they'll just go blast the guy, even if it's in the wrong direction. Guys blast them into the end zone all the time. Or into their own wife's vagina or anything. Boom.
Blast them.
Wrong direction, but they love hitting. The guy just came up behind Fitzgerald and just like blasted him, but like almost kicked him over the goal line. All right, Shaq?
I'll go with, first of all, yeah, from that same game, Santonio's catch at the end.
Amazing.
Of course, from seven. Palomalu just prior to that, picking
glorious.
Off Joe Flacco. Flacco's rookie season, game's nip and tuck. The nastiest, hardest-hitting game I've ever seen.
Wait, which game?
AFC
sorry.
Title game. Oh, okay, Baltimore sorry. In right. Pittsburgh. They're the clear-cut two best teams in all the NFL. They just so happen to be in the same division. Squaring off in Heinz Field. Cold night. Nip and tuck, like I say. Flacco and company get the ball. They can drive, and they can win the game, conceivably. Instead, Lamar Woodley hits Flacco as he releases it. 43 picks it off. Zigs and zags and zigs and zags. The place goes wild, and 43 runs it all the way into history, and it was the greatest moment in Heinz Field. Civic Arena history. Game 1, 1992. The mighty Chicago Blackhawks roll in on a historic roll. I said at the end of the day, yes, the Hawks have the best defense. The Penguins have the best offense. The tiebreaker, 66 Lemieux, hear me now. Believe me later, I told all that day. You watch. He will be the difference in this game, in this series, with 10.8 seconds to go in a tie game. The puck went back to Larry Murphy at the point. He flicked it with the wrist at Eddie Belfour. Belfour made the save. The rebound bounded wide to the far side. Swooping in was 66 Lemieux, and he buried it, and everybody in the joint looked like... No, don't give me that business. 66, I'm telling you. The joint, they won the game, and people jumped up. It looked like 17,000 people all at once jumping up, doing somersaults in the air and landing on their feet. It was insanity like I've never seen before or since. And that would be, I think, my grand. Or the other,
right.
The other
no,
one.
He said top one, not
the
not
other
top
one was Vontaze Burfict. The other one was Vontaze Burfict of the Bungles in the wild card round 2 years ago, intercepting the ball and then running off the field with five Bengal teammates following him into the bowels of the stadium, wagging fingers.
Right.
90 seconds later, the Steelers win the game. It's the greatest. It's my favorite football moment, I think.
You got to find out if that goalie was black. Now I'm confused. I still feel like, what's his name?
Grant Fuhr.
Yes, he was.
He's
sorry.
Black. I need a picture of Grant Fuhr. Never saw him. All right, go ahead.
Well, mine's also Pittsburgh Steelers. No, it's not. with apologies to Montana to Taylor to win the Super Bowl against the Bengals was a great Bay Area sports moment. But really? But my
it's
number
against the Bengals.
My number, how dare you? My number was a great Bengals team. My number one of all time. There he is.
There is Grant Fuhr.
I'm going to trust the guy who watches a lot of hockey.
I believe him. I just never saw him.
My number one, because it meant a lot to me at a certain age. You guys have to remember, it's hard. Hold on, Gary. Pause it real quick. It's hard to remember for a lot of people, and it's hard to conceive for a lot of people. But USC, before they became USC, the team that killed everyone with Reggie Bush and blah, 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 were the darlings of college football. Like, they had sucked for a couple of decades. They had this coach, Pete Carroll, who was getting everyone excited. Like, Carson Palmer was this great comeback story. Troy Polamalu was my favorite Trojan of all time. And then the next year, they got this new quarterback named Matt Leinart, this new running back named Reggie Bush, no one ever heard of, but they're exciting. And despite finishing number one in the poll, both polls, coaches and AP, they didn't get a shot at the BCS championship game. The computers kept them out. I think it was Auburn and someone else, Auburn and Oklahoma maybe. And so USC played Michigan in the Rose Bowl, despite being the number one team in both polls. And I remember where I was. I had terrible seats. I was at the game, and USC was pulling away. But Michigan was making some noise, and they pulled off this play. Dave, call it and tell us what you see, because it's a trick play.
Do it as Keith Jackson?
Yeah, Leinart.
Well, if he...
That's Mike Williams.
On.
That's
Mike
with
Williams.
The left mitt.
Gary, if you'd like him to do it as Keith Jackson, or if we'd like him to do it as Keith Jackson, you got to let him do it. You can't play it, and then.
Well, now he knows what he's seeing, so he can do it a little better.
Well, then let him see it. Then yeah. Okay,
beautiful Pasadena. the Trojans the on the move the against the men of Michigan. At the 15, the pitch out to Reggie Bush. Back to Mike Williams, who throws it with his left paw to the quarterback, Matt Leinart, and it's a touchdown, USC! I don't have the
that
voice.
That was pretty good.
I don't have the
that
pipes for it.
It was a quarterback throwback, and the place went wild, as you can see. I remember where I was. It was a great moment, and USC was back. And then, as they say, you either die hero or you live long enough to be the villain, and USC was very good for a number of years, and everyone hated them, and by the time they lost to Texas...
Yeah, it was because they were hated that they were put on probation, and then Pete Carroll
left. That was years later, and I'm telling you, by the time they lost to the upstart Texas Longhorns, the tide had turned against USC, and I understand if you're great for a long time. I've seen it happen with the Warriors. You've probably seen it happen with your teams, too. Like, you're great for a long time, the tide turns against you.
I can sincerely make this claim, at least, and you will likely laugh in my face. I think the most beloved dynasty in American sports history
49ers of the 80s.
Is the 70s Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. Who hates the Steelers outside of Cowboys? Everybody
moving forward.
Them.
Now, everyone note the psychological dynamic of what just transpired. The question, so says Dan from Denver, 34. Adam, Dave, and Brian, what are your favorite postseason play? Mm-hmm. What's your favorite postseason play in history? Damashek gave us three or four Pittsburgh-related stories. Paul Bryan gave us a USC-related stories. Adam Carolla gave a Pittsburgh story.
What is that supposed to say? What's the point?
Take a look in the mirror.
All your teams suck and never won their championships?
From your team, just your favorite play. I noticed I didn't pick my team.
He said never won a title.
He said your favorite thing. What did you admire most? Which performance did you admire with some distance?
Interesting psychological dynamic. The two fellas whose mothers love them.
I'm changing it.
A little too much.
It's with Bradshaw.
Pick their teams, and I picked the favorite play.
My new one is when Bradshaw hit Stallworth for the game winner. Take that, Rod Perry in 14.
Asked for favorite. He didn't say, what in your opinion is the greatest? I'd have picked a different play. Pick Christian Leitner for the Final Four.
Dan, have in mind when you posed the question?
Well, first of all, I'm very shocked that Gina hasn't chimed in with her monologue just yet.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's coming. Same with you guys. I mean, I'm actually more of a baseball fan, so mine come from teams related to me, but unfortunately my teams have not won shit. So mine would be MLB David Freese crushing a home run against the Rangers in World Game 6. I think it was 2011 World Series.
Nobody cares, Dan. Let me say this. No, even the interpretation of it is a psychological dynamic, which I just thought he was asking for the best play of the postseason in any sport. I never thought my personal, from my team, anything to do with my team or anything, just the best play that I remember seeing.
I'm with you. As it's written on the screen, it does say, what is your favorite play? And favorite, it implies personal. My favorite movie isn't the greatest movie of all time.
My question is favorite sport, I believe, but I loved all your answers. Mine would be MLB, just all the build-up.
We don't care.
I would like to give you mine.
No, I didn't have any Lakers thoughts. I was thinking... But it's interesting, which is my favorite play is not my favorite team's play. It's my favorite play, which is your team, which I don't like the Steelers, but I love that play.
All right. Liz, I don't know. You want me to congratulate? I'm not going to do it.
Makes me a hero. Interesting peek. A little peek behind the psychodynamic curtain. That's sure all.
I was asked my
and
favorite play. I'm not going to choose one that was from the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
We are our favorite.
You. Well, I just hope you never run for government because I'm just looking out for white, middle-aged, heterosexual guys who can grow a fabulous beard who are from the Beaver Falls area. That's who I'm looking out for. LGB community, have fun. Roasting in hell. I'm looking at my favorite group. Very interesting peek.
Before we move on, you guys, those were cute.
Yeah.
But I would have to say it would be Marino to John Brown in the 82 Sugar Bowl.
That was a great play.
Yours were cute, too.
Fourth and five. Fourth and five. That was a great play.
Yeah.
Great
Rick,
throw.
53 from Chicago.
Eastman.
What's going on?
Oh, Gina Damashek, damn you for bringing up the 92 Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rick.
You knew it was bound to come up sooner or later.
I was there a week later for game four when they when 66 hoisted the silver up over his head, higher than it had ever been lifted before. I could barely make it out from my standing room seats high at the top of Chicago Stadium because tears filled my eyes. But it still was the most glorious sight these two eyes have ever seen.
Rick?
A belated congratulations to you.
Thank you.
It's long overdue. Go ahead.
Finally, someone said it.
Yeah. So I saw a clip from the Pam Anderson roast, and Greg Giraldo was up first, and he was ribbing you and Jimmy, and Giraldo told the Pete Sampras with Down syndrome joke, and I wondered if he, did he lift that from Jimmy? And I'll tell you, at that point that he told that, you kind of looked at Jimmy and pointed at him. So I wondered if he just got that from Jimmy or did Jimmy get it from him?
I'm guessing it's too specific. Jimmy always used to say I look like Pete Sampras, and then he'd pause and go, with Down syndrome, which is correct. So I didn't argue with him, but he had me Pete Sampras.
I'll wear it.
But Jimmy must have given it to him. It's way too specific, I would assume. Also, I think it was Giraldo said to me, I think it was before the show, like he went like, you're a half Mexican, right? And I went, no, half Italian. And he's like, okay. And then he got up there and he's like, hey, what do you get when you take a half Mexican and you bang it out in the back of a Toyota Corolla or whatever it was? It's like, he asked me about my origins and I told him and then he just kind of went on ahead with it anyway, which Mike, I don't blame for telling the joke. I blame for asking. Should have never asked.
I don't care what the answer
is. All right, do we have it? Boy, Gary's got it. It's internet.
Have
magical.
Some dignity and stick to radio. You look like Pete Sampras with Down syndrome.
And Sarah Silverman, Jimmy Kimmel.
The Love Lines. Only in America. What a crappy show The Love Lines is. Yeah, teenagers calling in to complain about their abortions and their anal warts. It's like listening to the messages on Andy Dick's answering machine.
Funny.
Thank you, Tranny Bonaducci.
I was at that roast.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. We were in the cheap seats, but yeah, we were there.
Just there to check out a roast?
Yeah. My boyfriend at the time was in PR, and I really wanted to go, so I got to be in there. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty fun.
Now you're working together.
Yeah.
If you didn't notice. That's
no,
pretty
I
cool.
did notice, yeah.
I'm impressed.
No.
Okay.
The no, best stolen joke thing I've ever heard and worst simultaneously is at the Man Show. There was a writer named Jordan Rubin. How would you describe him, Ace? You used to always tell me he was 51% heterosexual. You'd always
yeah. He may be up to 51%.
Anyway, he gets his first gig. He gets booked on a late night show, national late night show. This is a major event, obviously, for any comedian. He gets to go. It just so happens Adam Carolla is the first guest that night. Who was it? Craig Kilborn, right?
Probably. Like
Craig Kilborn. Carolla goes out as the first guest. Jordan is waiting in the wings to come out and do his 5-minute set for all the world. Carolla comes out and does Jordan Rubin's set sitting next to Craig Kilborn.
Just the first part of his set.
Imagine that.
I just thought it'd be funny because how often does it? Are we not gonna have this opportunity?
It's
again,
funny to
know?
Me, but if I were him, I don't know what I would have gone. Why I that would never ever. I would never get over that move.
I thought it was funny. Maybe.
It is funny.
All right, let's clear the lines here. Thank you for calling in. I want to say I have a quick clip that made me laugh. I spoke to the great Roy Jones Jr., one of the best boxers of all time. One of the many things we discussed was the fact that he went out and played in a professional, semi-professional basketball game before a fight that night. Jesus. You want to talk about an athlete?
That's a guy.
For a title insane. Fight.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow,
I've always heard that about him. And he said, yeah, the game was at noon, the fight was at 7.
Wow, I don't even know the equal to that. I've never heard of any athlete doing anything like
before,
that.
Before a real professional, someone's getting the belt, fight.
I can't even believe someone let him do that. He could have gotten hurt.
I don't think there's a whole lot of telling Roy his business.
I mean, Balboa scaled that mountain without any equipment in Siberia he tangled with Drago in
but
Moscow.
That
but that wasn't
the
same
day.
I think it was like the day before, maybe even the weekend before.
Also had this funny conversation with him, too. I think we're going to play it. You'll hear it tomorrow or something, or the next day. But
tomorrow.
It's funny. It's like, you know when people start speaking code where it's like, hey, I sat next to Sylvester Stallone for 3 hours, literally a few nights before I talked to Roy Jones Jr., and he said to me, I wanted Roy Jones Jr. to play Balboa. I wanted him to be Antonio Tarver's part. I wanted him to be the nemesis in the fight. I wanted it so badly for him. And you're like, of course, if you're a big boxing fan, you're a big Roy Jones Jr. fan, and Roy looks the part, can talk the part. And so, yeah. And he told me, Sly told me, like, he tried time and time again to get hold of you, but you just never returned his call. So he moved on to Antonio Tarver. And he went, oh, no, that didn't happen. He called a couple times, and, you know, I did get back with him. And I said, oh, okay, well, he seemed to see it a different way. And he went, no. But I had a secretary who was going through some issues at the time. I was sort of like, okay, well, then it does. I was with you until the part where at the time you had a secretary that was going through a transitional phase, who I'm picturing as a family member or somebody, but he did pause and go, but my secretary, which means somebody was not getting the messages.
Wow.
That Sly Stallone was calling to talk to him about starring in a huge Sly Stallone movie. He took it in stride. He had no problems with it.
That would be one that would just stick with me for the rest of my life. Like, I could have been in a Rocky movie. Instead, it was Tarver.
Yep, that was it. Although, I got to tell you, in terms of
endearment,
in sports history, when Tarver fought Roy Jones for the second time, and they met in the center of the ring, and they're like, you're going to touch gloves? And they go, yep. And he goes, you got any excuses for this time? Or whatever he said to him. He said, like, I'm going to knock you out, and I want to hear what your excuse is before. But it was the greatest macho line ever, because Roy Jones Jr. is like the baddest pound-for-pound guy on the planet, and Tarver basically just said, I want to hear what your excuse is after I knock you out this time.
There should be a website or a Twitter account or something dedicated to professional sports trash talking.
Yeah.
Because I would love to see some of the best lines, you know, attributed to who they were at the time. That's a great one.
I'll play you, Gary, you can look for that one. I'll play a little clip. Yeah, I'll play a little clip of me and Jones.
I know Floyd Mayweather's undefeated, but I still have you as ahead of him in the boxing rankings just because of what you've done. Do you give that some thought?
No, I didn't give that some fact because I went from junior middleweight to heavyweight championship of the world. I didn't duck and dodge nothing. I fought them all when I could fight them.
He didn't give it some thought. He gave it some fact.
I love that.
It's like, wow. Did you give it some thought? No, I didn't give it enough thought. I gave it some fact.
Next t-shirt.
That's a great answer.
That's excellent.
You gave it some fact. And it's true. The knock on Mayweather, it's like Canelo Anthony. Canelo Alvarez. It's going to happen more and more now. Canelo Alvarez might beat Floyd Mayweather now. He's peaking. He got Canelo when he was 22, 23, kind of on the way up. Smart. Not knowing. I'm not saying this is the one example, but I'm saying a lot of it is your ability, and then a lot of it is a tactical side. A guy who's mastered Connect Four knows what I'm talking about. There's a technical side of boxing, and Roy Jones' thing is, I should go down historically higher than him because I just went and fought anybody. You were planning and dancing around and waiting until this guy lost a step or that guy lost a step before I stepped in with you. And you have to think with boxing, the difference between Muhammad Ali when he's firing on all cylinders and Muhammad Ali that fought Larry Holmes later on in life is a much different individual.
It's a shame that boxing is inexact with the way it schedules things. At least all the major sports have, you know, annual events to establish who the current champ is. Boxing, yeah, you can play that game, and it seems like it doesn't work as a meritocracy to say, I took all comers, in their primes as close as I could. If you dodge them long enough, you still get credit as one of the. Yeah. You know what we need to
still
do?
50-0, cloning 49-0.
The cloning scientists. That is going to be the greatest. I think we're all going to be dead before we get to this point, unfortunately. But how great is the future going to be for sports fans when you can just clone all the athletes to be in their respective primes, so we can settle who would win, Golden State of 2017 or the Bulls of 96, and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
L.E.V. Tyson in their respective primes when we just clone them. That alone is reason to focus on this.
Here's the slippery slope part. It's going to be who would win, Tyson combined genetically with a rhino. See, that's where it's going to go, because we'll get bored of everyone in their prime.
I got rhino Tyson.
In their prime.
Yeah,
rhino Tyson.
All right, I go
giraffe Kareem because of the reach.
I got rhino Tyson by decision.
Yeah. All right, this is the problem. This is where it's heading. It's the island of Dr. Moreau. Yeah.
Ray is sort of the – maybe that is what – maybe Ray did come from the island of Dr. Moreau. I've always said he's half man, half beast.
I'll tell you, when I used to talk to his mom, Irene, when she was working as a cocktail waitress at the Far East Terrace in Studio City, she would explain to me that Ray wasn't her son, but that he was, in fact, squeezed out of a bar rack. Which, when I was 13, was delighted by. That was the greatest thing ever.
I don't know if I like that better, or what was the a fact? Give it some fact.
I like the fact. All right. Inside HBO Boxing, by the way, is where you can go to watch that fight, and you can watch me. I'm going to be doing a little Facebook Live. So that's Saturday. I think I'll start about a half hour before the show. Show
finally
starts.
Is that right, Ace?
Yeah,
that's the greatest news I've heard. You as a boxing analyst is peak Ace, I feel,
before the fight and then during each round as well.
Cool.
Oh yeah, Ward Kovalev's fighting. Sorry. All right. Do you have the Tarver quote?
I do. It was from Tarver Jones 2 when the referee, when they met in the middle and the referee asked if either of them had any questions. Tarver said, "Yeah, I got a question. You got any excuses tonight, Roy?"
Oh, yeah.
So, cool. So Tarver questions. Jones 3 is titled No Excuses as a result.
Ah.
That's good.
Wow.
Big knockout. Jones basically said he wasn't hungry. Like he's such a crazy athlete and just wins so easily that he just said he wasn't. He didn't have the fire. He lost it. Like
that's why
Rocky
I got out of four
three,
after
right?
My third straight
Connect
title. I was
four,
like,
yeah.
What more do I have to prove in this sport? I don't have the fire in my belly any longer. That's when I hung it up.
You do exhibition and some charity stuff.
Yeah, I still have a love of the game. I still respect it, but I respect it too much to play competitively. That's the point.
All right, and I respect Hulu. Who knew? Hulu. We got a new look and a new experience. More personalized and intuitive. Create up to 6 profiles, including a kids mode, man. Originals, like The Handmaid's Tale. Current TV shows, The Day After the Air, like our friend Jimmy Kimmel Live. Watch that the next morning. Full seasons of shows like Fargo, and an entire season of classics like Seinfeld. And they got a new option, add live TV. Starts at $39.99 a month, includes the limited commercials. So Hulu, you get the Hulu streaming plan, you get the live TV, and again, limited commercials. It's all good. Includes 50-plus live and on-demand channels, plus watch sports on ESPN and FS1, including regional sports and news, and record TV live with cloud DVR. It's all good. It's all Hulu all the time. Enjoy all your TV in one place on a brand new Hulu experience. Go to Hulu.com and try it out for free. That's right. A free trial now at Hulu.com. All right. Let's see. We got Dave Damashek, Facebook.com/Damashek. You can also check out his podcast, the Dave Damashek Football Program, and the website, NFL.com/Shek. Check that out. Sean Donnelly's going to be in here. Defend Your Movie podcast. We'll do a little of that right after this.
There's a whole lot of good things happening on the Podcast One Forbes network. Forbes U30 is a show about young innovators, disruptors, and entrepreneurs like the minimalists Joshua and Ryan, electropop artists like Lights, CBS Search Party star Charles Rogers, the women of YouTube's Clever TV,
plus many more.
And the Forbes interview is a deep dive into the minds of the folks who could be on the cover of the magazine, like Tinder founder Sean Rad, hero pilot Captain Sully Sullenberg, Moneyball author Michael Lewis, pop star Jason Derulo,
and the list goes on and on.
Subscribe or listen to Forbes U30 and the Forbes interview now on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, or PodcastOne.com.
The Corolla Drink Seattle Bar Crawl is sold out. But don't worry, you can still party with us at the Showbox Soto Lounge. Saturday, June 24th. Lynette Corolla, Ray Oldhofer, Jay Miller, Gary, Kalen, Dylan, Nick, Dawson, plus Loxy.
And I'll pick up all your pieces, but I can't help you.
Loxy at the Showbox Soto Lounge. Plus, special guest, Moon Darling. Tickets and more information at CorollaDrinks.com. Get your tickets now for Loxy and Moon Darling at the world-famous Showbox Soto Lounge. Saturday, June 24th at CorollaDrinks.com. In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
Well, will the winner of the $447 million jackpot please step forward?
I wish I could. The winning ticket was sold at a Riverside County liquor store. And CBS 2's Tina Battelle is live in Sun City, where the store owners also struck it rich. Hey, Tina.
Hey there. Yes, the store owners tell me they've had some big winners here before, a $1 million scratch off, a $8 million Superlotto.
Fuck her right in the pussy.
Hey, fuck her right in the pussy.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's the day decorum died. We all know where we were. Sean Donnelly, everybody. Defend Your Movie, the podcast. New episodes every Friday. And check it out on iTunes. And, give it a nice rating and review and watch it climb the charts. Dave Damaschek's going to hang around because why not defend a movie?
Go for it.
So, Sean, thanks for coming on. And
thanks for having me.
Tell us the origins of the podcast.
The origin of the podcast, I'm a huge movie guy, and one of the things I wanted to do is a movie podcast, but there's so many. I'm like, how can you set a movie podcast apart from the other ones? And I'm having arguments with my friends about movies all the time, so it was the perfect idea to have comic friends of mine, other friends come on and defend movies. It's just from a love of movies and a love of, like, bad movies, because sometimes people like movies. There's movies that don't do well that people love. They're actually good, you know?
Sure. I've made all of them. Every movie I've made is actually falls under the heading of that. What are some of the movies you've enjoyed over the years? Just legitimate movies, so to speak. And then ones you thought were good that other people that may have flew under the radar. And then ones that are like, you know, guilty pleasure type stuff.
The ones that I think are really great, one of my favorites is No Country for Old Men. That's just straight
up
good.
You're a genius. Genius.
It's so good.
Love that movie. So good.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big Scorsese fan. So Goodfellas was my number one for a while.
Yeah.
But it's on so much. It's on like Lifetime. That's when you know it's on too much, when Goodfellas is on Lifetime. So I kind of got sick of it after a while.
Also,
so Raging Bull is my new one.
When they put it on Lifetime and they bleep out all the Pesci swears, who says, like, I really like to see an ultra-violent, violent 3-hour-long, you know, sort of mob-based thing, but the swearing's a little much, a little much. I don't mind a guy having a trash bag put over his head and choked out and stabbed and jugular with an ice pick, but enough with the swearing, all right, because of my sensibilities, you know.
You want a nice family-style murder movie. That'll
isn't
be good.
When that movie airs, like with the bleeps or the whatever, isn't it just pissing off 99.9% of the people who would like to see the movie and doing nothing to the less than 1% who probably aren't even noticing?
Are they still dubbing in? Is that still the thing that they dub in? Darn it!
That's the question. What's more distracting, the muting or the dubbing?
Because the dubbing, because you know what words go there if you know it by heart, and a lot of people know Goodfellas by heart. So instead of saying, I can say motherfucker on here, right? Instead of saying motherfucker, they say mother father, and you're like, that doesn't sound right.
Right.
Or monkey fighting snakes on this Monday through Friday plane.
Right, exactly.
I do. There was one. Oh, it was always this one. The one that's good is when the guy has a swear and a calling card, like Jackie Gleason in the first Smoking the Bandit or second Smoking the Bandit. They wouldn't let him say, son of a, you son of a bitch, you know. So the entire movie is, you scumbum. And it's like, I was 13 and pissed off that he was saying scumbum. You scumbum.
That's not really the character.
That's not the thing.
There is no... The thing, too, is there's no committee. It's not like they take really, you know, it's not like they get hold of Conan O'Brien and they go, look, here's our problem, Conan. He says son of a bitch, but we can't say son of a bitch on network TV. So we need something to put in his mouth that's clever, that conveys son of a bitch, but it's not going to distract the audience or whatever. They don't do that. There's just one editor who's fresh out of junior college and he just says scumbum. And that's it. They just move on. They don't give it any thought. They just put a little spackle on it and you notice it.
It'd be better if he said son of a gun.
Right.
That would be better.
Yeah.
Because people know son of a gun.
Scumbum. Anyway. I'd like a list of most notable sayings that got...
Yeah. What I agree dumped. I'd love to see that. And I also find it fascinating that clearly that in many occasions they get the actual actors to come in and give those wild lines so they can lay them in, which is weird. Do they get paid extra to do that?
I don't think they do. I think it's part of
part
the gig.
Of the contract.
So that's some of the best. Some of the best that may have slid under the radar.
Stuff that slid under the radar. As far as guilty pleasure one, well, slid under the radar, I think I love this movie called Shattered Glass, which came out. You guys know Shattered Glass?
I love that movie.
Brian
it's so
it.
Good, no, and it didn't it, do well.
Do you consider it a guilty pleasure? Or do you,
No.
No,
like,
that's
just under the radar.
Okay,
that's
a really good movie.
Yeah, that's just straight up under the radar.
It's starring a pre-Star Wars Hayden Christensen.
Yep.
And it's a true story about a writer for Rolling Stone, or a newspaper, a magazine writer,
for the New
Republic,
fabricated
a bunch of his stories.
Yeah.
And I guess found out. Great cast, too. A young, like, Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn. Peter Sarsgaard.
Sarsgaard's in it. Yeah, Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, and it's really, really, and Chloe, whatever. Yeah. And
Hank Azaria is great in it.
Yeah, and it didn't do that well, but I'll watch that anytime it's on, and I have it on like iTunes.
It's an excellent movie.
I've watched it a million times because it's one of those movies that like all it's about is a guy plagiarizing, but they make it so uncomfortable you can't look away,
and you're kind of rooting for him. You're like, how's he going to get away with it? How's he going to get away with it?
Yeah, you're watching it, but he comes off so creepy as well. Like it's really weird. And that guy went on to like become a lawyer. Like he's a lawyer now. That guy, Steve.
The actual guy.
Yeah, the actual guy.
All right. We'll queue up Dave and mine. We'll play the game in a second. First, I'll tell you about something that's not a guilty pleasure. Stamps.com. Stamps.com. We use it over here for all our shipping needs. We ship out a lot of mugs and t-shirts, occasional movie ourselves. You can buy and print official U.S. postage, any letter, any package or class of mail with your computer and printer. They'll even send you a digital scale to automatically calculate the exact postage. And right now, you can enjoy Stamps.com with a special 4-week trial plus postage and the digital scale without long-term commitments. It's easy. You just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. That is Stamps.com. Enter Adam. What could be easier? Why would you go to the post office? Why would you stand in line? Why would you even inhale what's going on in that post office? I guarantee there's a lot of radon gas in there. I don't trust that place. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam, get the deal, and get the scale, get the postage at stamps.com. All right, Shaq, would you like to offer up a movie?
All right, I'll start, pretty easy here. I don't think we'll get much pushback on this one. Let's go with Point Break.
Point Break.
You got Keanu, you got Swayze, you got Busey, you got it all.
Fun movie, but not a good movie. technically not a good movie.
I don't understand right out of the gate where you come from on that. I thought that it got political.
Catherine Bigelow, right?
Yep, young Catherine Bigelow.
The presidents all represented there with those masks. It made some sort of a political statement. I'm not sure what it was. It also was pro-FBI, I think, with the former college football star.
Johnny Utah
led Ohio State to the Rose Bowl, but he blew out a knee, still played football on the beach at night. Good luck playing football on a beach at night, by the way, in real life. How have you ever been on a beach at night?
Well, all you have to do is have 35 of your closest friends pull their sedan.
And he's a football player. He's a football player, is Keanu Reeves / Johnny Utah. And at some point, he and Swayze are so competitive that Keanu runs a route into the sea about about belly button high, and Swayze chases him right in there to make the tackle, like, hey, you two, you're out of bounds. I don't know if you noticed, you're in the sea. I think that's the border.
Has it changed your mind, Sean?
No.
How about the scene that's was part of any good 80s or 90s cop movie where the guy had a bead on him with his Glock and then fired into the sky? Also, I feel like you'd be reprimanded. Like, you fired 17 shots, not at the perp. Out of frustration, Captain. What do you mean I'm in trouble? I just fired him into the neighborhood. I wasn't like I was aiming at a guy. Of course they have to land. I don't know.
I'll be Keanu. I'll be Utah coming into the surf shop. You be Lori Petty behind the counter.
Okay.
I need surf lessons.
Why don't you go home, Val?
But it says that you guys have surf lessons.
We don't teach monkeys to surf.
I mean, but don't you want money for what you're advertising that this is what your business is all about?
I don't pay my grocery bill every month by actually doing what the sign says on the front of my business. I tell most people to hit the bricks, and I'm telling you.
You're brassy. I like it.
Should we say noon?
Yeah, get out of here!
We
don't service your kind.
Every one of those movies, if the guy, so here's the rule. The rule is the hot dude who meets the hot chick who's going to be screwing her a little bit later in the act can never get off swimmingly. Not an initial meeting. So if you walk up to a bar, you have to spill the drink on the person or whatever it is. Their problem was it was a place that said surf lessons, welcome public. So then he came in and said, may I have some surf lessons? And they were like, oh, yeah, good. Oh, no, wait a minute. They can't get along.
Confused is the perfect note for Keanu to be playing, too. So that's why that scene works so beautifully.
That's what he always plays. You ever see Speed? When they hit the cans and he goes, it was cans. It was cans. He just yells cans for 20 minutes.
Now you're going to tell us that wasn't a fine film?
Oh, no.
Here's the thing, man. I put it in the world of action movies, and I look at Die Hard. You have to compare it to Die Hard. Die Hard is like one of the best action movies of all time.
Yeah.
So compared to Die Hard, those aren't good movies.
Oh, Speed is still good.
Speed's great.
Now, what's wrong?
Well, you can do a million things. You can do bad acting. You can do bad dialogue. You can do a bunch of different stuff.
I liked, there's a couple of... A couple of good scenes. Well, first off, everyone needs to know that the hot blonde from Roadhouse is beating up Keanu, whoever, in the nude as a stunt woman, which I've told you guys. Yeah. I've met this woman before in Point Break.
We'll never leave Point Break.
Back to Point Break. Yeah, so if you want to see her fight naked, that's a pretty exciting scene. I would say that... Now, here's an interesting question. I'd say Speed is a better film than Point Break.
Absolutely, there's not a comparison.
Oh, well, there's a comparison.
No, it's a better movie, you're right.
But the thing about Speed...
Point Break isn't garbage, it's just...
The thing about Speed is this two things. I can't get over the bus gaining altitude when it goes from one freeway to the next. Now, you can go, okay, well, that's just one small little section. It's like, yeah, but the whole movie leads to this thing, and this whole plan to get ourselves out of this would get 41 people killed, because if that bus did what any bus would ever just do when there was 80 feet right of down. Missing freeway and people have driven from here to LAX, you can drive on that thing, you would all plummet to your death. So this problem that we've solved was never solved, and you can say that's a small part of the movie, but it is a big part of the movie. For me, you didn't sufficiently solve your problem. The thing about Point Break, Point Break was like 11 different movies, all sort of... crammed into one, and Speed was pretty straight on through. Both good.
You're just on the bus the whole time in Speed.
For the most part.
There's also a weird part in Speed where that lady, she just can't not get off the bus. And those cops, there's a weird scene where they're riding next to her and they're like, come on, lady, come on. It's like those cops basically kill that lady because they're like, come on, jump, jump. And right. she's like, I got to, Annie. I got to do it. And they're like, no, don't do it. And then she just gets rolled under the bus.
I think with Speed, if they made the Speed like, 28 miles an hour, I'd be all in. The 55, where like he's coming up on totally stopped traffic, and he pulls, you know, well, hang on, he goes through the shoulder and all that.
That's a tall ass.
Was it 55?
It was 55.
That's a tallish.
But it was in that, yeah, in the 50 or 55. Yeah.
It was 55.
It's a fun premise, though. We can agree that's a great idea for a picture. Yeah.
It's 55 in a bus from like 1955. Because if you look at that bus, that bus is old.
I also like how every bus, like if you come to Los Angeles, it's great because the bus in movies has like, well, you got the gangbanger, you got the debutante, you got the welfare queen over there, you got the rich divorcee over here. It's like, poor Mexicans, just poor Mexicans with one black driver, guy dropping them off.
Are you saying Alan Ruck is not taking a real LA bus?
Just say, like, who is this potpourri?
The swath of
you. Yes. Listen, as an attorney, I can tell you right now, I'll sue everybody on this bus. I don't care how prominent attorney are. This is my courtroom when I'm driving this bus. No, it's fun. It's comical because no successful anybody anything.
It also gets dragged down a little bit by the sequel, I think. The sequel was so bad that people don't remember the first one as well.
Is she? Sure. I never even saw that one. Is that the one that is he supposed to be the same guy though?
No.
Oh, it's a different.
She's already
cat.
Ended all that right. relationship, and she's single now. Single.
She gets caught in the same exact situation.
What about you mentioned nude fights? I'm fascinated by the filmmaker's choice to have the scene play itself out while the star is nude. The two that jump to mind for me: School Ties, Brendan Fraser and Matt Damon tangling in the shower. The anti-Semite Damon scrapping with the star QB in high school. Why in the shower? They're nude and they're rolling around. What did either actor say? Hey, director, can't we move this to the dorm room or something? This is uncomfortable and needlessly so. The other one, Viggo Mortensen in Eastern Promises.
Well,
that's
hold
jail, right? Is that a jail fight?
It'd be funny. Like, I'll be the director. You tell me, keep it out of the shower.
Can direct? I mean, Liz, it's your film, but can't we do it somewhere outside of the
fight
shower?
Scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if they fight in towels, the towels could come off.
But I mean, either way, I'm wet and I'm like, I feel like I've achieved a certain station in this business that I don't have to roll around on the floor with another grown man.
All right, we'll put them in their underpants and put them by the head.
Yeah, but again, still, like, why do I have to embarrass myself in this manner?
Well,
like,
they gotta be in the bathroom.
Why do we have to be topless in this way?
I have Crohn's disease. I shoot every scene in the bathroom. I'm sorry. Please don't tell the rest of the crew.
Hostage negotiation takes place in the bathroom.
Where is he? Oh, he's in stall three.
Scene 22, the funeral scene. What bathroom is that in?
The big game.
The big game.
I also like Eastern Promises when the two thugs come to get Viggo.
It's a steam room, right?
Yeah.
In the steam, Russian steam room or whatever. But he's nude. Why does it have to happen in the nude? And then he, as I've said before, like it was especially egregious when he chokes the one guy out with his wiener. You know, like wraps it around his neck, like. choking the bad guy with the wiener. Why,
Eastern
Promises,
you say? I got to see that.
I think it's a vulnerable spot. I think that's why. They're like, oh my God, imagine getting cornered in the shower or a steam room.
It also has a little gladiatory kind of gladiator kind of like the old, that's
Turkish
how they
baths.
Fought in the nude, you know.
I assembled a list, a short list of some of my favorite guilty pleasures. Could I just fire them off rapid fire?
I'll tell you what. Let me hit Geico and then do it. Because this shouldn't be a guilty pleasure. Geico.com. Save hundreds of dollars in your car insurance and you don't have to do anything. Just go to Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Why not go to Geico? You want to save a little extra? Get the Blu-ray. Get the commentary on Cobra. Put a little extra money in your pocket. Go to geico.com. Spend 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. It is Geico. All right, go ahead.
I'm a lover of movies. I'm a lover sometimes of movies that everyone else doesn't love, and these are five movies all below 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, but wait, to be clear, are we guilty pleasure again, or are we? This is a good movie that people should see.
Well, your show, people come on and defend the movie they love that no one else loves. There are very few people.
Very few people. Yeah.
Okay.
So you love these unironically.
So cult ones, absolutely. Cult ones don't usually work because it has a whole big following.
Yeah. I can defend these. I happily defend these to anyone who listens. So you tell me your thoughts on these five. Number five, and you said comedies are kind of hit and miss, so I got a couple comedies.
Just
because
it's so subjective, yeah.
Okay, number five, Not Another Teen Movie.
Comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where it's like...
Parody film of all those Pretty in Pink and all those movies.
I'm not into it, but like if you came on the podcast and you were like, well, I thought it was funny, I'd be like, okay, conversation over. Thanks for coming.
Along
good
the same
pod. Hold on, Brian. You know my theory. How old were you when that movie came out?
Oh, man, I was out of college. I was
okay.
This was like 2000.
I have a theory.
2001.
It's my dirty rotten scoundrels theory when I talked to a chick who said that was the funniest movie she's ever seen.
I got
and
bad
then
news.
She saw it when she was 14, and then I realized, oh, that's when you think, like, Gene Wilder's The World's Greatest Lover. I thought it was the funniest movie ever because I was 12 when I saw it.
These are all 1999 or later.
Okay.
Sugar and Spice, the cheerleading movie, which is very funny, much better than people give it credit for.
Is it the where they're bank robbers?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
Oh, great movie.
But is that also a comedy? It is a comedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, number three, and not a comedy, I love The Book of Eli. I think Book of Eli is a great movie. The Hughes Brothers, Denzel
Washington. Oh, yeah. Okay, that bombed big time. That would be a good one to do on the podcast.
It doesn't make its rounds on the paper cable. Not the paper, but the HBOs and the Showtimes. I haven't seen it in a long time.
What's this? Gary Oldman's fantastic
in
it. I'd
like to see it.
Number two, a comedy that I love, Just Friends, starring Ryan Reynolds.
It's great, though. It's a really funny movie. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's really good. Okay. It's underrated.
And number one, a drama that I stand by. I own this movie on DVD. I love Vanilla Sky.
Agreed.
I want to do it on the podcast. I want to defend it to somebody else on my podcast because I like that movie.
Holy hell.
Bombed like crazy. Yeah.
Best thing in that movie, I've said this many times, or the thing that I took from it that I always want in a woman. This is my dream, and I'm because
for her
I'm
to be
vain.
Penelope Cruz?
When Penelope Cruz wakes up, Tom Cruise away. Penelope Cruz wakes up middle of the night and looks at Tom Cruise and says, "Oh, I was just dreaming about you." That's all I want out of it.
Oh, the opposite.
That's what I want. I love it.
The opposite from the pickup line. It was, I was just dreaming about you. Wait, is that the opposite? If I had a dream that?
Our pickup line is, Dave likes the simple stuff. And I'll tell you, by the way, check that movie. I never saw it, but I do believe from watching the commercial, he drove Midnight Blue Ferrari GTO, like 64 or something.
Factors very heavily into the plot.
It does?
Yeah, it does.
And it's absolute, for sure, replica. The best way to figure out if a chick you work with is into you without having to ask her whether she's into you or stray into that area where you're crossing over some boundaries and going to get reprimanded is when you run into them, mention, I had a dream last night. You were in my dream last night. And if they ask, what was it? You're in great shape. If they go, oh, okay, well, you know, you probably you can't cut the coffee off by noon, otherwise you'll have the weird ones. If they keep walking, they keep on. If a chick asks for any kind of details about the dream, where were we? You're gonna get it. That's a good sign.
They go cool and walk away. You're screwed.
Right. Yeah. Right.
A guilty pleasure comedy. I have. Which a lot of people don't like is Clifford with Martin Short. You ever see Clifford?
Never saw it.
No,
the dog?
No, it's just him.
He plays like a man child.
He plays a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And remember Orion Pictures? It came out right as they were shutting down. So it was on the shelf for like a year. And then whoever bought Orion Pictures put it out after.
Dusted that
really
off.
Funny. He's a boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really funny. Did you see it?
Yeah.
It's so good. But a lot of people hate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a 62 Ferrari GTO, by the way. The Gina Grad, a little bit of news. Mm-hmm. Hold on. First, speaking of GTOs, you want to pick one up? Go to True Car, man. Feel comfortable. You're getting a fair price and have a context. Apples to apples. It is True Car. See what other people paid and get the fair market price. Get the price you want for the car you need. Once you register, you'll see real pricing on actual inventory, and you can feel confident. Show up, pick up your car, and drive on home. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. I think our own Chris Max Pata got his barely used Prius. I think he said it had 400 miles on it.
Lightly used.
Lightly used. So, When you're ready to buy, you go to TrueCar.com. You enjoy a more confident buying experience. Whether you're going new, whether you're going used, whatever you're going, you go with TrueCar. That is TrueCar.com. All right, Gina, a little bit of news.
All right.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
And can I just say quickly, in the vein of Vanilla Sky, Brian, you might not agree with me, but a movie that I'll watch every time it's on and that I never stopped thinking about since the first time I saw it, Cloud Atlas.
Oh, I love that movie.
I've never seen it.
But it's actually fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, really? Like I thought 62%. People hated that movie.
I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, the Boston Globe reports, this is a breaking as of today, is it Wednesday? I don't know.
Less today.
Wednesday. Mm-hmm. The Boston Globe reports that the top House Republican, Steve Scalise of Louisiana, was shot Wednesday at a congressional baseball practice just outside of Washington. Several other people, including two police officers, were also believed to have been hit, according to a lawmaker who witnessed the shooting. Now, Scalise, he's the majority whip, the House majority whip. He's undergoing surgery. This says in stable condition. I did hear on the way over here critical condition, so not too sure how he's doing right now.
I heard he was shot in the hip.
He was. And okay. And on the way over here, they said in critical condition, which I thought that escalated quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know if you hit an artery or whatever it works.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So five people were transported to local hospitals, including the suspect identified as James T. Hodgkinson. Now, this shooting occurred at a baseball field in Alexandria, Virginia, where lawmakers and others gather for a morning practice of this annual tradition of that's been around since the early 20th century.
Did anyone know about this game? Did anyone
I've
have any
never
idea
heard of this before.
No.
It's a charity event. It's like Republicans versus Democrats. I also heard a witness say that this guy Hodgkinson asked somebody, who's on the field? Are those Democrats or Republicans? And that affected his choice to start shooting.
Wow.
So was he like with a hunting rifle, like on a grassy knoll, or was he walking through the field?
I know at one point when he started shooting, he was in the dugout, in the opposite dugout. Jesus. Where, so I guess along the third baseline. Hmm. And everybody rushed into the other dugout. Apparently, he has a crazy Twitter page, hates Trump, called him a traitor, wanted to see him taken down.
He's a big Bernie
guy. Yeah. Here is a clip of Senator Rodney Davis of Illinois. He was there. He describes the event.
Well, I was up to batting practice, and I heard a loud bang. It felt like a construction site dropped a large piece of metal. And then the next thing I heard was, run, he's got a gun. And I immediately ran into the dugout and dove in there. And since I was up to bat, I was one of the later ones, so I was on top of people. I didn't figure that was the best place to be. So I ended up moving out and dispersing to other safer areas. But I never thought I would come to baseball practice for a game for charity, for local D.C. charities, and have to dodge bullets.
See, this would be horrible for me in that interview because I'd have to work in a little baseball, softball prowess. You know, I'm hitting what they call second cleanup. Now, you call it eighth, but I call it second cleanup. I hit for power, not for average. You'll notice a lot of the infields weren't even, a lot of outfielders weren't even in range because they'd moved back, you know, just when I walked up.
Well, sort of Mighty Casey at the time. Did you get a look at the shooter? Did you get a glimpse at the gunman? Did you get a look at the shooter?
Say what?
Did you get a look at the gunman?
Oh,
when
when
you were.
No, I heard it. That's why I was going to, it was just BP, you know, but I don't go half speed. And that's why I ran the next one out.
Were you okay? Were you fearful for your life?
I was running it out.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't running from the gunman. I was running it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you witness others running it out?
I don't know because we play in limited arc. So I'm kind of up. You know what I mean? I'm focused like a hawk on the ball. I can count the stitches on it as it comes in. You know what I mean? The key is, Turn the hips. You got it. Oh, yeah, he got shot in the hip.
Okay.
Yeah, turn. What I do, I'm left-handed. I can bat from either side of the plate, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I hit for power when I hit as a lefty, southpaw. But, you know, that's why I play first base as well. But if you want to put me short, you want to put me at the hot corner.
Yeah. I believe they call it.
I'll put the mitt on the left hand.
Okay.
I'll do that. Yeah, anyway.
Reporting live from the baseball diamond.
Oh, no. Hey, my prayers are with, what's his nose? Who was shot there?
The senator who was shot in the hip.
Yeah. So the thing about unlimited arc is the ball lands on the plate. That's a strike. That's a strike. It's a, so there's a strike zone. You know, it's almost like a vertical strike zone.
Can you pause?
I mean, it's called unlimited arc. It literally means an arc, and the arc is virtually limitless.
Did he appear to have more than one firearm, or just the one?
I use an Easton 34-34. It's a 34 length, 34 ounce.
I see where this is going.
It's called the cannon.
Thank you, Senator.
I don't let other people use it.
Thank you.
If you want to look at it, you can look at it.
I don't need to look at it.
Hold on. Rusty, get it out.
No, Rusty, don't get it out.
We keep them in
there. Leave it.
We use one of those Rubbermaid trash cans to keep all the bats in there. It makes more sense. I was going to get thrown on the ground.
Hey,
funny story. I came to play with a donut on once. I had the donut on the bat, but I have so much upper body that I didn't even feel it. Like, I didn't even know it. I had a stand-up double with the donut on the bat, huh?
So you didn't get a look at the gunman.
Gun meaning Batman?
No, never mind.
Okay. All right. Well, look, we got more innings here.
We're going to keep playing.
Well, that's the way What's-His-Nose would have wanted it.
The senator got shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think he would have wanted it that way, but...
We talked before the game.
Oh, he expressed to you if I get shot?
Not to the team, just to me privately.
That's a real long
and
shot.
And also said many people wouldn't believe me. But I swore that it was his wishes that I carry on.
It's your word against... No one's, I guess.
I'll see you at the cages.
Okay.
I mean, the hospital. I mean, obviously, after the cages, we're going to the hospital.
That's how it would go.
Yeah, we cool down at the cages. I don't want to cramp up at the hospital.
Sure.
Yeah. And besides, we got a game next year.
They can't help a cramp at a hospital.
Yeah. Okay. I'll see you at the cages. I'll see you at the hospital.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Just like that.
Now I hope he's okay. Because that was horrible. All right. This is insane. We're going insane.
Yeah.
All right. Also, when the guy is wearing the shades that you wear... At the firearms dealer, like when the guy is wearing the guy the shades of Big Lebowski was wearing, or what's his name, with John Goodman wearing the Big Lebowski, those shades, that's what you call a tell.
Yeah,
right there when you're wearing the shades you use to fire firearms at the range.
You're in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Very good point.
All right, one more.
Well, actually, from the world of sports, this just happened moments ago. So Gary has the most up to date info.
Gary, get an update on this guy's health. I feel bad.
Scalise.
Will do.
All right.
Is the gunman dead in that other story?
Oh, he is.
He's dead, right?
The gunman himself.
Yeah, oh, he killed
the cops. Him? Yeah, I guess he hit a couple of the two cops.
He did, mm-hmm.
And they ended up killing him.
Oh, okay. Good, I guess. I like it when these guys are killed. It just saves a lot of.
All right, enough with the guns already. I'm shooting in San Francisco as well. It's enough already. UPS thing, foolishness.
Yeah. All right. One more.
Yeah, so, Gary, what do you got?
So our last story, I guess, will be that Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather has been officially announced for August 26th.
No way!
Wow. This was about 20 minutes ago, and you can look at the retweet and likes numbers here. This is just going absolutely insane. Conor, for those who can't see, digitally altered Floyd's face to make him look older and tweeted the fight is on.
Oh, he looks like his uncle.
Yeah, he does. He does look a lot like his uncle, but I believe it's an edited photo. I'm not sure.
I think it's just a picture of his uncle.
It could be.
It's unflattering.
You're right.
I know a lot of cage fighters, and they're not real handy with the computer.
Yeah, they're not Photoshop experts.
So,
novices.
Roger, right?
Roger Mayweather, his uncle. Yeah.
This is great news, Ace. Why are you over the moon?
No, it's going to be fun. It's going to be the greatest foreplay ever with the quickest orgasm.
Yes. Why? What's going to happen?
It'll last 3 minutes.
Why?
I think Mayweather's just going to outskill him.
You really do?
I do.
Oh, I don't. I think McGregor...
Oh, well, now it's on.
Yeah. It's not Roger. It's Floyd Sr.
Okay. Well, either way. It's not. He didn't...
Right.
Wait a second. I'm not even clear.
26 in Vegas.
They're wearing what size boxing, gloves?
Probably boxing 8 gloves. Or 10.
Boxing gloves, boxing ring, boxing
gloves. So it's boxing. There's no kicking or any of that.
Absolutely.
I thought it was like Street Fighter, where you can do whatever you want.
No. The only rule is there is no rule.
That's right.
No. It was Fight Club.
Yeah, no. If it involved throwing stars, I would give the nod to McGregor. Yeah.
So then he'll have no chance then.
I'm assuming, but everyone says puncher's chance. You know what I mean?
The odds as they opened are Floyd is 16, Sorry, Connor's a 7-1 underdog.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right, now let's bring it home. Then.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Cobra. Gina
Grad. That was the news.
As long as they don't fight nude.
So the congressman, did we find out what he's doing?
We're still looking at that.
It's funny that you have a you thought that he digitally altered Floyd Mayweather to look like an old black man when it's just a picture of an old black man. It's weird. There's God, that's a great relationship, Roger Mayweather and Floyd, and his uncle, his dad, and him are the greatest relationship ever. Tommy John. Oh, all right. Tommy John, you ask what dad wants for Father's Day? How about we go with Tommy John? Surprise him, man. Upgrade those underpants. Feels like nothing else. The best. I'm wearing them right now. We always wear them. We have them. We have the T-shirts. We have the socks. They stay up. Guaranteed. No wedgie, no bunching, no riding up. Combining innovative design with patented 21st century fabrics. The most comfortable underwear pops will ever wear. Or it's free. Mind-blowing comfort. I know. I wear it. We wear it. Everyone around here wears it. Different styles available in every length. The softest, lightest fabrics. Innovative features like the horizontal quick draw fly and contour pouch. Very nice. I know it sounds interesting, but it all works. And stay put waistband. Just the best. Change dad's life this Father's Day with Tommy John. Tommy John, no adjustment necessary. Dawson.
Check out the exclusive Father's Day gift sets at TommyJohn.com now and use code Adam to save 20% on your first order. That's Adam for 20% off at TommyJohn.com.
All right. Well, still critical condition, yeah. So we'll pray for a speedy recovery. Sean Donnelly, everybody. Defend Your Movie. New episodes every Friday. That's iTunes, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Go there and give it a nice rating and a nice review. Dave Damashek, you can check out his podcast, the Dave Damashek Football Program.
I don't know what I did to Mayweather and McGregor fighting the nude.
In the nude.
In a steam room.
I love it. Also, No Safe Spaces, me and Dennis Prager, go check that out at nosafespaces.com. Watch some of those videos. Live shows all around. Go to adamcarolla.com. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla. For Sean Donnelly, Dave Damashek, Gina Grand, Ball Bryan, saying mahalo.
Wieners.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Phone number, leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Gina Grad is on 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles weekday mornings. And get on the drunk boat with us, the Carolla Cruise, this November. Go to adamcarolla.com.